Welcome to Ecclesia Principles, a biblical strategy for restoring America, with your host, Ray Eppert.
Hello, glad you could join us again. We're talking about the Ecclesia and how God actually set up the Ecclesia to be kind of within the church. The Ecclesia isn't just the church as a whole. It is a legislative governing body. Look it up. Now, let me just say this. If you look it up and you go to a Bible dictionary, it will tell you that the word Ecclesia means the called out ones. And they will begin to give you different verses. But if you go to a secular source, and you might think, well, why would I want to go to a secular source when I'm wanting to understand the Bible? Because in Matthew 16:18, when Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, those people didn't have a Bible dictionary to study from. Jesus was using the language of the day. And if you look at it, you'll find that basically the meaning of the word ecclesia was the name of the legislative body of the Greek city-states at the time of Jesus. And that was its primary meaning for centuries. It eventually got Christianized to identify a body of believers. If you would, I would say that there's an element that not everyone that's a Christian is a part of the ecclesia. Not that they can't be, but the ecclesia really identifies the people who are engaged in building a kingdom culture in their community. Everyone is not engaged in building a kingdom culture in their community. See, the word ecclesia means called out ones, but they were called out to vote. It's amazing how many Christians don't vote. And I'll even go another step. It's amazing how many Christians that unless they got somebody they just really 100% approve, don't vote. Well, the bottom line is, at this point, if good, solid Christians decide that they're not going to vote because there's not a candidate that just perfectly suits them, then they are choosing to allow people that do not have kingdom values to determine our culture. And that's really what got us in the shape we're in now, is so many Christians, rather than, let's just say it bluntly, a lot of times you have to pick the lesser of two evils. But the bottom line is, let me ask you a question. Is it better to have the lesser of two evils or to have the most evil? I don't know about you, but I would prefer to have less evil. I think God would prefer to have less evil. Now, at that point, and I won't go down this path very far, but the bottom line is the reason we have to pick the lesser of two evils is because we're not engaged in the process from the get-go. You know, this past spring, there was not a Democratic primary in the 6th District here in Virginia. There was only a Republican primary. Now, in the 6th District, it basically covers from, if you go straight up the valley past Winchester, it goes up basically to the Maryland line. It goes down all the way to Roanoke. It includes Winchester, Harrisonburg, Stanton, so forth and so on, and some others. But it's kind of the valley right through there. And there were two candidates for the Republican nomination for Congress. One of them was in the incumbent, Ben Klein. Now, in that, Ben Klein won the race. Now, he won with a little over 80%. I think it was about 82% of the vote. But his total vote from the Virginia Maryland line all the way to Roanoke was a grand total of 19,000 and some votes. He actually had less votes than the number of citizens in Stanton, Virginia.
We'll be right back after this break. Jesus said, I will build my church, or ecclesia. Ecclesia identified those who were called out to vote on issues that determined their culture. Jesus expects us to positively influence our culture with equality, liberty, and justice for all.
I think they said that overall, among eligible voters, there was a 4% turnout. In other words, another way to put it is one person who voted actually voted with the power of 20 people in that primary because the other 20 stayed at home. They didn't vote. One out of 20, 4%. One out of every 20 voted. At that juncture, if we get involved earlier in the process, we can start having an influence on actually what you get to pick later, what everybody gets to vote on. But so many Christians pull back from it. But the ecclesia really meant called out to vote. It didn't include vote, but the called out ones, the ecclesia, they were called to show up to the ecclesia meeting at the gates of the city, and at the gates of the city, they would vote on issues. Now, if you're not engaging, then you're not being a part of the ecclesia. And could it be that that's why the gates of hell are prevailing against us? Is because enough of us are not showing up at the gates of the city and voting on what's going on. Therefore, there is no presence, or there's a limited presence of the ecclesia of Christ. And so, since there's so few, then the gates of hell are prevailing. We have to engage to be a part of the ecclesia. Now, with this, we read last time from Titus chapter 1, verse 5, where Paul is talking to Titus. He's on the island of Crete, and he says, for this reason, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Now, part of what we talked about was that there were no Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Episcopalian, Presbyterian. There were no different groups. There was only one church at that time. And so when you had a group of elders in the city, then it was their job, if you would, to cultivate and to protect the entire flock for the city. Now, if you would go with me to Acts chapter 20, this is where we finished up, and I want to pick up with what we were talking about last time. He says here, talking to these elders of the church of Ephesus, he tells them in verse 28, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. What is the role of an overseer? Ultimately, an overseer is to cultivate and to protect. Everything comes back to Genesis 2:15, where God set Adam in the garden to tend and to keep the garden. Cultivate and protect. Cultivate and protect. As an overseer, let's use this example. Parents are the overseers of their children. They are responsible for the development of their children. Therefore, they are to cultivate their children, their gifts, their talents, their abilities. But at the same time, they're also to protect those children. They are responsible for their safety. They're responsible for their well-being. Being parents, having the parental authority or oversight of their children, means they are to cultivate and they are to protect.
We'll be right back after this break.
Augusta Seed, your local Augusta County seed corn distributor since 1977. Producing more bushels per acre for a greater harvest. A time to plant and a time to harvest. Ecclesiastes 3:2. From your friends at Augusta Seed, buy local. Find them on the web at augustaseed.com.
You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
Paul tells these elders at Ephesus, because there was just one church, when it comes to the church here, when it comes to the body of Christ, you have been made an overseer. You need to be cultivating. You need to be protecting. Now with this, he says in verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Verse 30, "Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." He says there will be problems from the outside. Savage wolves, not sparing the flock. He said there will be problems internally. But largely what the church leadership has done is just focus on the internal, and we have ignored the external. Because in all honesty, part of the external can and will sometimes be government. Government will not spare the flock. When you look at things that are happening in our world today, the church, let's go back during COVID when, for a period of time, quote, church was not essential. We still, in America, have not recovered from the impact of that. Those statements and that policy has affected people. And as a result, it has affected their church attendance because they don't think it's essential. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that important. Savage wolves from the outside have attacked. They've attacked. And with that, a number of things that happened during that time period. But even beyond that, you look at what's happening in our schools today, our public schools today, with what is taking place there. There are people in the Department of Education who are functioning as savage wolves, who they're not sparing the flock. That little girl that has to go into the bathroom and teenage into the high school or whatever, and a teenage boy gets to go in too if he wants to. There are those from the outside who are not sparing the flock. It's one thing if they've got their values, do what you want to do. But now you're impacting us. You're impacting our kids. You're impacting those that we have been given the jurisdiction to protect. And Paul told these elders, he said, there's going to be savage wolves on the outside seeking they're savage wolves. They're wanting to tear apart, steal, kill, and destroy. It kind of sounds like the devil. And he said, they won't spare the flock. And you see, that's happening in our society today. But so much of the church is going, well, that's outside. That's not ours. Paul told them, you have oversight of the church. You're an elder. You are the ecclesia. You're not just a representative within the church. You're also a representative outside the church. That's part of why he put some of the qualifications in there that of good reputation, because you're not going to be able to affect policy if you don't have a good reputation. If you haven't conducted yourself in a way that people will listen to you and give heed to you, then you're not going to be able to protect. You're not going to be able to cultivate anything on the outside because nobody's going to listen. But you see, the church has to deal with the outside. That's part of the whole thing with the ecclesia. That's why the ecclesia in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, which means that they're going to come in contact. It's not very often that they come in contact in the church. I'm not saying never, but it's not very often. Most of the interaction between the ecclesia and the gates of hell are out in the public arena. They're out in the world as we live, things that affect our daily life. That's where hell is trying to push its agenda. Not that it doesn't try to push it in the church, but it's mostly there. But we have been given the job of oversight. Elders, in every city. From that standpoint, with this, what we have to see is that we have to move beyond just the idea of an elder within the church. We've got to move past that, because elder within the church just deals with stuff in the church. We have to understand elders in the city, elders in the community. That there are people, they can be an elder in the church, but maybe they're not an elder in the city. They don't have that place. But God is wanting to raise up people to have that place, to hold that influence, to spare the flock of God from the attack of savage wolves, but also to cultivate and reach other people for the kingdom of God, to advance the will of God, to seek first His kingdom out beyond the church. We're not just supposed to seek the kingdom of God in the church. If you're seeking first the kingdom only in the church, then you're not seeking first the kingdom. You're seeking the kingdom among other things, which there's an aspect. You can seek other things, second, third, down however far you want to number them. But we're supposed to be seeking the kingdom first inside the church and outside the church. See, ultimately, kingdom is a form of government. We're to be seeking God's government.
We'll be right back after this break.
Want to make a difference in your community? Check out cityelders.com or search City Elders Augusta County, Virginia. City Elders exist to influence government spiritually, politically, and economically so that life is protected, liberty is defended, Christ is exalted, and families can flourish. See about helping start a group in your area. You're listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppert, where we believe that all people are created equal and that liberty and justice is for all.
When we look out at the world, then we should be seeking to bring God's government to the world. Now, not a church government to the world, but the influence of God, His influence into the world. We should be seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. His righteousness, if you would, let me paraphrase Matthew 6:33 this way. Seek first God's kingdom. Seek first to advance the kingdom of God and the implementation of His policies. See, His righteousness is His policies. Righteousness, in its most basic form, means that which is approved by God. In its most basic form, it means that which is approved by God. We're to seek first implementing the kingdom of God and implementing His policies. What does God say? Now, at that point, again, if it's just a matter of faith, see, baptism is a matter of faith. You believe and are baptized. We don't do that with the world. That's not over here. That's where some of this separation comes. But let's put it this way. Is stealing only wrong in the church? Or is stealing wrong in the public arena? Yeah, it's wrong in both. God's opposed to both. That's not just purely a matter of faith. That's a matter of conduct and morality. And so in that, God says that stealing is not approved by Him. So we should seek implementing laws that prohibit theft. And on down the line with things, again, matters of faith, how you take communion, how you baptize, those are all strictly matters of faith, what you believe, and you need to respond. And every person in their jurisdiction of self-government has the freedom of conscience. They have the freedom of conscience. But then when it comes on to our interactions with one another and how our society functions, then that is a matter where we need to seek to implement His righteousness, His policies. When we do that, He says, all these things will be added to you. You see, I would put it this way. We're praying for God to change our nation. Many people are. Many people are praying for revival. But I would put it to you this way. We won't have revival, not the type we want. Now, there's revival in specific locations and affect a region or a community. But I'm talking about a nation-changing revival, where how life is lived in the nation changes. We've had two of those. We've had two, they're called Great Awakenings, but we've had two revivals that changed the nation, changed the moral fabric, changed the moral fiber of the nation, changed how we approached all the subjects of life. But in both of those cases, and this is what makes those awakenings, those nation-changing revivals different, is I used to think this is where they messed up and God blessed them in spite of themselves. I have now come to believe this one particular thing is why they were blessed and we are still dealing with problems. And things seem to be getting worse. And that is this. They made government come in under biblical values. That they made Jesus the Lord not only of their personal lives and their family and their finances, they made Jesus the Lord over their political beliefs. And when they did that, there was an awakening. There was a revival that literally changed how our nation lived and functioned. And in all honesty, that's why America became known as a Christian nation. Not because everybody was Christian, but because of that revival that changed the nation. Even non-Christians lived by biblical values. Not forced on them, but it was just so predominant in the culture. The stream of the river was heading that direction, and people were pulled with it. You see, until we as children of God, until we decide to make Jesus the Lord, not just of our home, not just of our family relationships, not just on our church practice, but we decide to make Jesus Lord over every part of life, including our political beliefs, and we actually begin to seek to advance His kingdom, His government in the earth, and we seek to implement His policies, His righteousness. We seek that first. When we do that, and I believe we're beginning to see a rising tide, there are people that are beginning to take that approach. And the more people that take that approach, the tide will continue to rise. And I firmly believe we're on the path of a great awakening. We're in the beginning stages right now. But it will happen quicker, the quicker God's people humble themselves, pray, seek His face, and repent. Not repent of some gross sin. Just repent of not bringing this area of life under His lordship, not bringing the area of government under His jurisdiction, but doing what we think and what we like instead of following the practices of His word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we do thank you for America. We thank you that America was built on biblical values. Father, I'm not going to ask you to restore that. I'm going to ask you to help us restore it. Our founding fathers took their place and did their job. And as co-laborers, you with them, you established this nation. Father, help us step up and take our place. Help us step up and do our job so that your kingdom, your government will be advanced in this land, and that righteousness will flow like a river. Your policies, the things that you approve, will have free course. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you next time.
You've been listening to Ecclesia Principles with Ray Eppard. Follow us on podbean.com. Also available on Facebook at Liberty Justice HQ and online at libertyjusticehq.com.